the supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness. And I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive. And make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans. And muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah. Salamun alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special on the martyrdom anniversary of Lady Fatima, peace be upon her. Accept our condolences on this sad occasion. Dear brothers and sisters, today, Thursday, is the 13th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1444. of the Islamic lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 17th of the month of Azar, 1401 of the Islamic solar Hijri calendar, and the 8th of December, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. On the martyrdom anniversary of Lady Fatima alayha salam, we present this episode of today's special to all Muslims, especially Shia Muslims all around the world. Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha bi'adadi ma ahata bihi ilmu bi'adadi ma. At first, we look at the status of Lady Fatima. The Holy Prophet, his father, said, "Whoever injures Fatima injures me, and whoever injures me injures Allah, and whoever injures Allah practices unbelief. O Fatima, if your wrath is incurred, it incurs the wrath of Allah, and if you are happy, it makes Allah happy too." Fatima, the only daughter of the Holy Prophet of Islam, was born in Mecca on Jamadi Thani. The princess of the house of the Prophet was very intelligent, accomplished, and cheerful. Her sermons, poems, and saying serve as an index to her strength of character and nobility of mind. Her virtues gained her the title Our Lady of Light. Fatima is famous and acknowledged as the leader of all the women of the world because the prophethood of Muhammad would not have been everlasting without her. The prophet is the perfect example for men. For all the verses revealed in the Holy Quran for women, Fatima is the perfect model who translated every year in action. In her lifetime, she was a complete woman, being daughter, wife, and mother at the same time. Dear brothers, dear sisters, dear Muslim listeners, accept our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Lady Fatima alayha salam.
My dear brothers and sisters, when we speak about Fatimiya, you may say that it's difficult to find optimism in the majalis of Fatima al-Zahra, salawatullahi alayha. But even Fatima al-Zahra, in her last days, showed some optimism. Why? When she tells Amir al-Mu'mineen, wa'affi mawdi'a qabri, when she tells the Imam, Ya Ali, bury me at night and conceal the location of my grave. It was an act of defiance. So no one can say that Fatima lent credence to the government of Abu Bakr. No one can say that. She challenged them. It was an act of defiance against that illegitimate government. But in addition to the fact that the concealment of her grave was an act of defiance, it was also an act of hope. Because Fatima alayhi salam had hope that generation after generation, the Muslims would ask a fundamental question. A question that will take them from Islam to Iman. That will take them from being those who say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah to those who perfect their deen by saying La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah wa Aliyun Waliyullah. She had hope that until the zuhur of the Imam, people will wander in Medina asking, where is the grave of Zahra? Only Fatima can expose Haqq by concealing her grave.
About the martyrdom of this great lady and the last day of her life, we can say Fatima told the household that she was feeling better. The pain in her ribs and in her hand was not so severe, and that her fever had come down. Then she started bathing the children. Immediately, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, and Lady Fizza came to her assistance. She got those children bathed, dressed, and fed, then sent them away to her cousin. Imam Ali was surprised to find that his dear wife, Fatima Zahra, has left her bed and had started doing the housework. He asked her about it, and she replied, "This is the last day of my life. I wanted to wash my children's hair and clothes because they will soon be orphans without a mother." Imam Ali then asked her about the source of knowledge of this news. Fatima Zahra told him that she had seen the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, in her dream, and he had told her that she was going to join him that night. She then asked Imam Ali to execute her will. Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha. Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha. Wa ba'aliha wa baniha bi 'adadi ma ahata bihi. صلي على فاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها بعدد ما أحاط به علمك. Dear brothers and sisters, on this episode of today's special, we'll listen Lady Fatima's last will. Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, said, "May Allah reward you with the best of goodness. Cousin, I ask you not to let anyone who did injustice to me to witness my funeral, for they certainly are enemies of mine and the enemies of Messenger of Allah, Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny. Also, don't give them the chance to pray over me, nor to any of their followers. I want you to wash me at night, put the shroud on me, perform the prayer upon my body, and bury me at night when eyes are rested and sight is put to sleep. And after my burial, sit beside my grave and recite noble Quran for me. Let not my death dishearten you. You have to serve Islam and humanity for a long time to come. Let not my sufferings embitter your life. Promise me, cousin, my dear husband." Imam Ali said, "Yes, Fatima, I promise." "Cousin, my dear husband," she continued, "I know how you love my children, but be careful of Hussein. He loves me dearly and will miss me sadly. Be a mother unto him. Till my recent illness, he used to sleep on my chest. He is already missing it." Imam Ali was caressing the broken hand, his hot and big tears dropped on her hand. She looked up and said, "Do not weep, cousin, my dear husband. I know with a rough outward appearance what a tender heart you possess. You already have borne too much and will have to bear more."
Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam is narrated to have said, "Reciting tasbihah of Lady Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam every day after every salah is liked by me more than reciting 1,000 ruk'ah of mustahab prayer." Some of us perhaps practice this tasbihah without understanding its true significance, or indeed the correct way of doing it, as it may have become a habitual practice. First, the correct order of the tasbih, according to many established narrations, is 34 times Allahu Akbar, 33 times Alhamdulillah, and 33 times Subhanallah. Two, yet sometimes, due to haste, it's not recited properly. The appropriate way is to stop after each dhikr, الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله and so on. It is the first thing highly recommended and established to be done as soon as we finish Salah. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam is reported to have said, one who recites the tasbih of Lady Zahra alayhi salam before even moving their feet, Allah will forgive them. Number four, it is also very much recommended for this particular act of worship to be recited just before going to sleep as well. One who recites the tasbih of Lady Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam at the time of going to bed, they will be accounted amongst those who have remembered Allah a lot, according to the narration. Some of our ulama suggest that reciting tasbihat Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam at night protects against nightmares as well. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam is reported to have said, we teach our children tasbih of Fatima as much as we teach them how to pray. Let's lead by example and inspire our children and youth not to neglect this incredibly rewarding act of the remembrance of Allah. Encourage them to recite it after each salah as well as before going to sleep. Number six, it's actually so healing that this tasbih should be recited at times of difficulty. When we're encountering a challenge in life, for example, or when we need our wishes to be fulfilled. At times of anxiety, sadness, or just to seek relief. In a narration, Imam alayhi salam states that whoever recites it, Allah will protect them from the pains of this world as well as the hereafter. Number seven, in a world of temptations and traps, we need as much help as we can. According to Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, reciting tasbih drives away shaitan and results in the satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In chapter 94 of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. When you are finished from salah, sit up and then turn to your Lord. One of the applications of this ayah is tasbihah of Fatima alayhi salam. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says, Allah is not worshipped by anything more rewarding than the tasbih of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. Had there been any worship superior to it, most surely the Holy Prophet would have granted it to Lady Fatima. Peace and blessings be upon them all. Number nine, it will take us a few minutes, perhaps 5 minutes at max, to recite this tasbih. But we should try to be attentive as possible. And there should be continuity in the recitation of the tasbih without any interruptions. And finally, it is recommended to use a prayer bead, and especially that made from the soil of the grave of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. If not, we can use our hands.
ذكرنا يا فاطمة فخرنا يا فاطمة ذكرنا يا فاطمة فخرنا فاطمة.
The time of this episode of today's special is over. Inshallah, keep us in your dua and supplication. Again, we offer our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Lady Fatima, peace be upon her.
For her Haydar cries, Fatima has died. For her Haydar cries, Fatima has died. And by you is your sword, O Lion of your Lord. And by you is your sword, O Lion of your Lord.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and our condolences to you all on the martyrdom anniversary of the noblest lady of all times, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Here is a famous statement from her noble father on her merits. Fatima is a part of me. Whoever hurts her has hurt me. And whoever hurts me displeases God.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful hadith which has been narrated from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This hadith is about his daughter, the Lady Fatima. Today on Hadith of the Day and here at IRIB English Radio, we would like to offer our condolences to our esteemed listeners on this most grave and solemn day, which is the demise of the Lady Fatima, Salamullah Alayha. According to some traditions, according to a weaker tradition, today is her anniversary of her demise and her martyrdom. Some might question, why is her death so significant? Well, her death is significant because of her significance, and her death is a great loss for humanity. And that's why we grieve her death. In a beautiful hadith, we read the following from the Prophet. The Prophet said, O Ali, he was addressing Imam Ali, his son-in-law. He said that, O Ali, observe and follow and carry out every order that Fatima commands you to. This is a very interesting hadith. He's ordering his son-in-law to follow the orders of his daughter, right? You know, some might look at this hadith and assume that this is something that every father does. He loves his daughter, and he asks his son-in-law to listen to his daughter, not to break her heart. But in continuation of the hadith, we read the, and we find out the reason why the Prophet said this. The Prophet said, the reason for this, meaning why should you follow the orders of the Lady Fatima? He said, because I have ordered her to do those things with which Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, the angel of revelation, he had ordered me to do. Meaning, Gabriel ordered me to do certain things, and I ordered the Lady Fatima to do those things. And if she's, so therefore, if she's ordering you and she's telling you to do something, right? She's not. It's not a wife ordering and bickering or you know, bossing her husband around. No, it's the Lady Fatima conveying the orders of God, you know, to you, right? So therefore, observe them and follow them, right? In a very beautiful hadith, we also read the following regarding respect for even the name of the Lady Fatima. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam once said the following to a person who named his daughter Fatima. He said that, now that you have named her Fatima, then never curse her, and never scold her, and never hit her. Right. So even the name of the Lady Fatima has a level of respect to it, and we should respect it. This shows us her great station in the eyes of God and the family of the Prophet, and that's why her death is very solemn and very sad day. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at Lady Fatima in the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Iqra بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. And here we have some of the students of Sevier International School in holy city of Qom. And I really welcome them all. Assalamu alaikum, brother Hassan Nasrullah, how are you?
Salam, sir, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, thank you. Ali Nasir?
Alaikum salam, alhamdulillah, how are you, sir?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, thank you so much. Fawad Haider?
Fine, sir, how are you?
Okay, that's good. I'm good, alhamdulillah. And Hussein Rahullah?
Fine, sir, how are you?
Everything is all right?
Yes.
Okay, so I really welcome you all. So Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, and Ali Nasir, and all our brothers and sisters who are listening to us right now on IRIB English Radio. Today, inshallah, we'll be talking about ayah number 134 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Make sure you have your Quran. Turn to page 20, ayah 134 of Surah Al-Baqarah, in chapter in Juz Al-Awwal. So, before we start, let's everyone listen to the recitation of this ayah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تلك أمة قد خلت لها ما كسبت ولكم ما كسبتم ولا تسألون عما كانوا يعملون.
So now I will be inshallah reciting it. Make sure Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir to listen and repeat. Trace as I read, okay? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
تلك أمة قد خلت
تلك أمة قد خلت
لها ما كسبت ولكم ما كسبتم
لها ما كسبت ولكم ما كسبتم
ولا تسألون عما كانوا يعملون
ولا تسألون عما كانوا يعملون.
أحسنتم. Thank you so much. Let's pay attention to the translation ones. تلك أمة قد خلت. That was a nation that had and that has passed. لها ما كسبت. For it, there will be what it has earned. ولكم ما كسبتم. And for you, there will be what you have earned. ولا تسألون. And you will not be questioned. عما كانوا يعملون. About what they used to do. Guys, in the previous sessions, in the previous verses, we were talking about the nation of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam. Yes?
Yes.
So, whatever the nations of these prophets have done, they have nothing to do with us. Why? Because they've passed. So, they are dead now. And it's time for us to think about our life, to think about our situation. Allah Almighty says this. Tilka ummatun qad khalat. They've passed. Laha ma kasabat. They will get what they have done. What they've earned, they will have it. Walakum ma kasabtum. It's your turn. You will get what you want to earn. What does it mean? It means whatever you do here in this world, you will get it in the next world. They have done whatever they wanted, whatever they used to do in this world, okay? And they will achieve whatever they have done. So, وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ And you will not be questioned about what the nation of Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam did. Okay? They will be questioned about what they did. Not you. So you have to pay attention to yourself. Make sure. In another verse of the Quran as well, we have وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى Me, I will not be questioned about your deeds if I am not responsible for it. Okay? Understood? So, you will have your own file. I have my own file. You have your own, what? Reports. I have my own reports. So, I will be questioned about mine. You will be questioned about yours. Understood? But if you do something which kind of affects me in a way, of course you will be questioned about it. Right? If it was good, you will be rewarded. If it was bad, you will be punished. Got it? Now, guys, here, what I wanted to say is this, that we should be very much careful, okay? We don't have much time. We only have like 80 years. And for example, I'm now 25 or you're like 15. So if you divide the whole life that you have, like 60, 80, 90 years, 90 years, for example. 80 years a minimum, okay? It's like at least people normally die at 70, 75, 80, yes? So 70, let's get. If I divide my whole life into like 70, how can I divide it? Let's say 60 into four parts. Yes? Four parts. Or like five parts. So one fifth of my life or two fifths of my life has passed. And I don't have much. And they will never come back. We should be careful. لَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُ وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمُونَ But you will be questioned about yours, not them. Okay? Make sure what you do in this life. Alhamdulillah, I can give you this good news that you are students of Quran. You're Muslims, Shia Muslims. You don't have any, you shouldn't have any worries, but be careful. Okay? Because sometimes we will, God forbid, we'll be taken away from this path that you are right now. Be careful very much, okay? So guys, let's pray for them as well, inshallah. هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran. Let's go to the Tajweed rules. And of course, you have to refer to the Tafsir book, interpretations of the Quran Karim, okay? Any Tafsir book that you have, they are very valid. Nur al Mizan, whatever, okay? Namuna, whatever you want to refer, you will understand a lot. So guys, tilka ummatun qad khalat. Tilka is a word that is used for female, okay? Thalika is used for male. Thalika, tilka, all right? Hadha for male, hadhihi for female. So tilka, it talks about ummatun. Ummatun, it's female word, okay? It's not female, like real female, okay? It is used, okay, for female as well. Ummatun tanween. First, mim mushaddad. Tilka ummatun. Nasal sound, ghunna with it, okay? Ummatun. Then tanween. Dhamma plus. What is the next letter after ummatun?
Qaf.
Qaf. So, is qaf from yarmalun letters?
No.
Is it from throat letters? Hamza ha kha ain ghain.
No.
Is it from Ba? The group no. Which Ba is? Yes. No. So it's from the rest of the letters. So tilka ummatun qad khalat ikhfa. But I told you one thing, that for the letter qaf, kaf, sheen, sad, dad, when you do ikhfa, you have to do it in a way like your listener kind of understand. Give them a hint, okay? A hint of that the next letter is going to be qaf. Tilka ummatun qad. Ummatun qad, right? It's a bit difficult. But it was difficult for me as well, okay? But my teacher told me, okay, that you have to do this way, and it was difficult for me. But alhamdulillah, I'm just a little good at now. So practice this, okay? Tilka ummatun. Just mix a little cough sound with it at the end. Tilka ummatun. Now, ummatun. Mix it. Ummatun qad khalat. So, he means to start pronouncing qaf a bit earlier.
Yeah.
Ummatun qad khalat. So, qad khalat.
Qal.
What rule is here?
Qalqala.
Qalqala, mashallah.
Qalqala.
Okay, good. Good, nice. Qalqala. So, what does qalqala say?
Bounces.
Bounces on. Tickle it, yeah?
Yes.
Tickle, okay. Hassan, tickle for what once? Let's see how he jumps. that way, okay? You have to bounce the letter dal, so make sure it bounces, okay? Tickle it. Qad. Qad khalat. All right?
Yes.
Somebody, they don't really, kind of, whenever you tickle them, they don't react. Yeah? As if they are desks, chairs, wall. Nothing happens to them. Good. That's good. That's good. But you must be tickling, okay?
تلك
أمة قد خالت لها ما كسبت ولكم ما كسبتم. No root, but the letter ta is there, كسبت. Make sure it's not very clear ta, right? Some people say لها ما كسبت. It doesn't have that sound. لها ما كسبت. Very simple, okay? Do not stretch the sound. No. ولكم. Ah, ميم ساكن plus ميم.
إدغام
مثلين. ولكم ما كسبتم ولكم. حسن read it.
ولكم.
Oh great. ميم مشدد نسل صح. Next one. ما كسبتم. Aha, on the top. تلك أمة قد خلت. There is a stopping sign. And وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ. Again, there is a stopping sign.
Wasl better to continue.
Yes. Salah tells you that wasl is better than waqf. You can stop here if you're tired, but you can continue. It's better to continue, okay?
Yeah.
Don't waste the time. Continue. وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ. What's the opposite of salah?
قَالَ.
Which says waqf is better than wasl. Yes. If you stop, it is better than.
Here, in ما كسبتم, there's a قلقلة.
Oh, thank you, Fawad. MashaAllah. ما كسبتم با. Oh, he's so smart. Okay. Of course, he's so good at قلقلة, okay? That's why he remembers it always. So, كسبتم با ساكين. Please pronounce it with a bouncing sound, okay? With an echo sound. Echo sound. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. كسبتم. ولا تسألون. I heard Fawad pronouncing وَلَا تُسْعَلُونَ. He is misunderstanding. It's not عين. It looks like عين, but it's not. It's just the head of عين. Huh? The head of عين says عين. Starts with a sound, yes?
Yes.
And then عين sound. So it's just the head. Just a, not a. Not complete عين. Got it?
Yes.
I think he has not fixed it yet. He needs to visit the doctor. Make sure your throat works well. وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَنْ مَا. I told you عَنْ مَا it is. عَنْ مَا means from what?
Yeah.
From whatever. عَنْ مَا, when you join them, نُن ساكن plus ميم إِدْغَام. نُن ساكن plus ميم. عَنْ مَا. نُن ساكن plus ميم. يَرْمَلُونَ letter. عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. That's all. So, is there any question?
No.
No question?
No.
Okay. Thank you so much. Guys, you have to practice well, okay? Brothers and sisters, make sure you practice. And for the explanations, more detailed ones, please refer to the Tafasir book. About Tajweed rules, we've done it. Alhamdulillah, practice. If you didn't get, listen again. Stay with us every night on IRB English Radio. Inshallah, we'll be with you. Thank you so much. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرج.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه
يسط الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
If you ask me why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me, proudly I would say I am a Muslim. If you ask her why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away, proudly she would say I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say I am a Muslim. Deen al-Islam deeni wa la'adham ghayru deeni Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Topic that we are going to delve into today or in the upcoming episodes probably is Nazr, and that's what we are going to do according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we continue our program, let's take a listen to a short biography. Little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching Makassas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid, according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching, one can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Mohammed Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Tawbid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about the topic of Nazr, according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas. Sheikh Tawbid, you know, one of the ladies asked us this question. Let me put it to you. I set aside some money to visit the holy shrine of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him. What happened is that my husband took this money and added up to his own collection or money and did not return it to me. Considering that, I know the amount of this money. Is it permissible to take this money from him without his knowledge?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The money pledged should be spent in its proper place.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And the woman has the right to take a measure to obtain this money, making sure it will not lead to a kind of conflict or dispute between her and her husband. So it should not lead to straining her relationship with her husband. She has the right to take this money from her husband, and if she consents if the husband consents to give the money to her without even, you know, resorting to, you know, something to retaliation, then of course she can take it. She can talk to her and tell her. She can talk to him and tell him that, okay, I've made a vow. I want the money back. So the man should give it. The money should give. And in the event that that he does not give it, okay, if the money belonged to the wife, to the woman herself, she can take it out of her husband's pocket. And of course, when it comes to performing the fulfilling the nazar, as I said in one of the previous episodes, I think without doubt, the wife needs her husband's consent and permission, because, you know, if she wants to go to Karbala or to visit the holy shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, she must get her husband's consent and permission, and it should not be in violation of her duties towards her husband.
Uh-huh. If somebody violates several vows or nazar, what should they do first of all?
Okay.
Do they have to atone for them?
Yeah, why not? She has to, or he has to atone for the violation. Atonement is the kafara. We use the kafara, okay? Kafara has to be paid by the person who violated the vow. And of course, when it comes to the kafara amount, if I can go on,
yes.
Okay? The amount of kafara is very much the same as the amount of oath a person violates, okay? If a person takes qasam, okay,
mm-hmm.
and says by the name, okay, he says, wallahi billahi tallahi, okay, this is a kind of oath, okay? And if a person violates an oath, he has to fulfill the, he has to give a penalty, and he has to atone for it. The same is the case with the vow, with the nazr. If it's violated, it should be compensated, it should be atoned for, and of course the atonement is the same, the atonement.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike, for example, a covenant ahd, you know,
yes
which of course the amount of kafara is different.
I see. Let's take a short break and I'll be back and, in fact, ask you a question quite related to this question. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Mohammad Jawad, hosting this program, and our guest speaker, Sheikh Javid. The topic, Nazr, or vows. Sheikh Javid, just before the break, you were telling us about the kafara and oath, right?
Yes.
In relation to the violation of any vows. So would you shed some light on the differences between vows, qasam, and covenant, just raised before the break?
If a person violates a nazr or a qasam, of course the penalty is to feed 10 poor people. If he cannot feed them, he should give them clothes to wear. Mm-hmm. Okay, and if he cannot do any of these, he should fast for 3 days. Okay,
for any oath.
For the oath he breaks, or for the nazr he violates. Mm-hmm. Okay, but as I said, there is a difference between a covenant and a vow. Okay.
Yes.
A vow is nazr, and a covenant is ahd. Ahd is a kind of promise, if violated, it should be compensated or atoned for differently. Now, if a person breaks a covenant, he has to fast for 60 days. 60 days,
right.
The same as the kafara of breaking a fast intentionally. Now, if a person breaks a fast intentionally, he has to fast for 60 days in a row, 31 days in a row, of course, or he has to feed 60 poor people. And if he is not able, then he has to, let's say, you know, repent and seek divine forgiveness, okay? Or he should actually set a slave free, you know? But in modern time, of course, setting a slave free is not possible because there's no slave to be freed. So there remains two options. One either has to fast for 60 days or feed 60 poor people. This is the covenant of Ahd. Mm-hmm. This is the penalty for
yes. Okay, thank you very much. Let me ask you another question, Sheikh Javid. You know, is it obligatory to act strictly according to the vows?
Yes. Of course, if a person makes a vow to perform an act,
yes,
he should perform it in strict accordance with the vow he made, okay? For example, if he makes a vow to give sadaqah or to fast on the first day of every month on the first day of every lunar month, or to offer prayers on the first of every month, okay, then he should perform. He should act according to the vow. He mm-hmm. cannot postpone the nazr. He cannot delay it. He cannot fulfill the nazr one day before the first day of the month, or mm-hmm. one day after it, or he cannot do it at the end of the month. So he should go ahead and comply with the nazr according to the vow he made. He cannot breach it, and he should be very much strict and act very much in accordance with the vow he made.
If you have two neighbors who are both poor,
yes,
all right, and if you make a vow to, for example, give one meal